Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. It is Sunday, May 1st, 2022, and it is 2:02 in Beijing, China, 3:02 a.m. in Tokyo, Japan, 5:02 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, 10:02 a.m. in Vancouver, Canada, 12:02 p.m. in Garland, Texas, 6:02 p.m. in Lagos, Nigeria, 6:02 p.m. also in London, England, 7:02 p.m. in Berlin, Germany, 8:02 p.m. in Israel's Mount Megiddo, the site of the upcoming Battle of Armageddon, and 9:02 p.m. in Moscow, Russia. What time is it where you are, friend? I'm so glad that you're with us. I want to begin with a prayer for you from the Book of Revelation, verse 3 of chapter 1. It says in the Amplified Classic Translation, "Blessed, happy, to be envied, is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy, to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near." Friend, today I declare over you, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, you are happy to be envied, because today you will hear the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them, laying them to your heart, because indeed the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Thank you again for being with us in our time today. We're going to focus on the dead judged statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Let's begin with getting an understanding of the reality of statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. In the conclusion of the book, the Apostle John, one of two narrators of the conclusion of the book of Revelation, says to us, the reader, in verse 18 of chapter 22, "I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. If anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book," end quote. And in verse 6 of chapter 22, John also says, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass." This means that it is noted, specifically asserted by the primary narrator of the book of Revelation, John the Apostle, that there are statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So again, the most important scripture that communicates clearly and definitively that there are statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, it's verse 18 of chapter 22. Let's listen for that specific language, statements of prophecy. Reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, key scripture communicating and confirming to us, the reader, the reality of statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It says in verse 18 of chapter 22, "I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book." If anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book," end quote. So the key point for us is to connect to the reality of statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. And it's noted that the statements of prophecy are predictions, consolations, and admonitions. So those are the three elements that comprise statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So where are the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation? They begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22, which is the last chapter in the book of Revelation. Statement of prophecy is followed by another statement of prophecy. So they all appear in a row. After the last statement of prophecy, the book of Revelation ends with a formal conclusion. Before the first statement of prophecy that begins in chapter 5, verse 1, there are foundational elements. So there are some foundational elements in the book of Revelation. For example, the first two foundational elements are an abstract, which is a summary of the book of Revelation narrated by God. That appears, that's the first thing that we see in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Also in chapter 1, immediately following the abstract for the book, is a formal introduction, which is narrated by John. So those are two of several foundational elements in the book of Revelation. We're going to get into the statement of prophecy using words from the Bible, the dead judged statement of prophecy. Before we do that, I have a few housekeeping items. Just want to make a couple of announcements. Announcement number one, do you have a question? I'd love to get your question. If you have a question about the book of Revelation, give me a call. I'll do my best to answer your question. If I don't know the answer to your question, I will research your question with careful study of the book of Revelation and other books in the Bible as your book of Revelation research scientist. You can reach me now during the live broadcast at 1-319-527-6027. I'll be taking calls live at the top of the hour, but you can call in at any point. Our phone number here at PGN is 1-319-527-6027. When you call, you can call simply as a way to connect to the live broadcast and listen. You can also call because you want to pose your question. Perhaps you have a comment that you'd like to make, not a question, or maybe you have a prayer request. So I'd love to hear you about any of those things, your prayer requests, your perspective, or your question. So you can reach me during our live broadcast at 1-319-527-6027. Also, you might not wish to call, or maybe you can't call because you're multitasking or you have other things going on. You can text me your question about the book of Revelation using our PGN text phone number. That text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. One more time in case you are typing it into your phone or other electronic device. Our PGN text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. I'd love to get your question about the book of Revelation so that I can get you some answers. So this is really a talk, a presentation for truth seekers, individuals who are passionate about knowing what is true. As a professional research scientist, that is what I have been trained to focus on. There's nothing more important than what God is saying to us. So I've been excited to give my time, talent, and energy to focusing on using research science, analysis, prayer, revelation, focused on God's word. And so that's why I'm here with you today. Today, we're going to focus on the ninth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. That is the dead judge statement of prophecy. From the Amplified Classic Translation, Let's hear that statement of prophecy in its entirety. Each statement of prophecy was given to John the Revelator in a vision, and using words from the Bible as a title, we can think of this as the dead judge statement of prophecy. It begins with verse 11 of chapter 20 and ends with verse 15. Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. I'm going to pause there. Those first two verses comprise the abstract for the dead judge statement of prophecy. That means that we've gone from beginning to end with the key points for this statement of prophecy. Following this abstract, we have continued discussion. So we get an overview, we get all the highlights, we get essentially a movie trailer for the statement of prophecy in its entirety with its abstract, which are those two verses. Then, beginning with the continued discussion, which starts with verse 13, there's more information with continued discussion for a statement of prophecy. Sometimes the statement of prophecy will go back in time because now it's filling in the details. So the abstract goes from beginning to end with highlights and key points, but the continued discussion fills in gaps, gives us the reader more details about what has happened. So where did we go from start to finish? From start to finish in the abstract, and then let's go and look at the continued discussion. From start to finish with the abstract, we found out that there's a great white throne and God sits on that throne. We also found out that there's coming a judgment, which will be conducted by God. We also learned that at this judgment, which is sometimes called the Great White Throne Judgment, the dead will be judged. We also learned that the dead will be judged based on their feeling and acting, aims and endeavors, which have all been recorded in the books. We learned that in the continued discussion. Let us now go to the continued discussion for the statement of prophecy. I jumped ahead a little bit there. Didn't mean to do that. Let's get the rest of the statement of prophecy. So we heard verses 11 and 12 of chapter 20. Now let's get the details. Beginning with verse 13, so how are the dead going to be judged? And do we know who the dead are? And what about when this is going to happen? So beginning with verse 13 from the Amplified Classic, and the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them. And all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. End quote. That's the statement of prophecy, the dead judge statement of prophecy in its entirety. We learned some really important details. In the abstract, we already learned that the dead would be judged based on their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, and in accordance with what was recorded in the books. But in the continued discussion of this statement of prophecy, we learn that the dead includes the sea that delivers up the dead who were in it, and the sea is a metaphor for the nations. So all who were dead in the nations at that time, death and Hades surrendered the dead in them. When an individual dies, when we experience the first death, and we're all going to experience the first death unless we are here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, those who are here at the time of the second coming who are in Christ, who have not received the mark of the beast, those individuals will not fall asleep. In other words, those individuals will not die. However, like those who have died in Christ, they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. What change to what? Change to having an incorruptible body, having a body that is perfected, having a body that will never die, that will never get sick, a body that is free of genetic errors, a body that has perfect DNA. So those individuals get a perfect body at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. However, there are those who do not live again until after the 1,000-year millennial reign. We say, how do I know that? In the dragon-bound statement of prophecy, which precedes the dead judge statement of prophecy, the Bible tells us that. We learn that in the statement of prophecy that precedes this statement. It says in verse 5 of chapter 20, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So who is the remainder of the dead that's referred to in that statement of prophecy? The remainder of the dead are those individuals who did not die in Christ, those individuals who continue to be disembodied at the time of the second coming. So we are three parts, body, spirit, and soul. When we experience the first death, we become disembodied, yet we continue to exist. So there is continuity in life and death. Sometimes people are so worried. They say, well, does my mom who's passed away remember me? Or does my sister who passed away remember me? Does my dad ever think of me? Will he recognize me when I get to heaven? Absolutely, there is perfect continuity with experiencing the first death and what happens afterwards. What that continuity looks like depends on which line you're in. So at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's a harvest. We are put into two groups, those who are in Christ and those who are not. For those individuals who experienced the first death before the second coming, they were put into two groups. Those individuals either went to Hades. That's a physical location where when you are disembodied, again, there's continuity. You continue to exist, but where do you go? You still have your same soul, your same mind, will, and emotions, but you are disembodied. You go to Hades. But if you died in Christ before the second coming, then you go to the physical location of heaven. Again, for all individuals, there is perfect continuity despite the state of being disembodied. So let's read that again. We're in the statement of prophecy known as the dead judged, verse 13 of chapter 20, and the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrender the dead in them. So again, death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrender the dead in them. So when an individual dies, experiences the first death, and refused the free gift provided by Jesus Christ, that free gift is payment for our sin debts, that individual goes to a physical location, which is Hades, and that individual has perfect continuity with his or her soul, mind, will, and emotions, perfect continuity with that individual's spirit, a lack of continuity exists with the third part of the threefold human being, which is body. So we learn in verse 13, it says in part, death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them. So by surrendering the dead in them, what is the Bible telling us? Individuals who have died will be surrendered. Hades will no longer be the storage container, the holding tank, if you will, the abode of disembodied individuals. Again, we're talking about the dead. Who specifically? Those individuals who did not die in Christ, they are restored to life again. How do we know that? Earlier in the statement of prophecy that precedes the dead judged, it says the remainder of the dead. So that means that when individuals die, we die and we're in unique groups. Everyone doesn't have the same experience. Those who die in Christ or who are in Christ at the time of the second coming live again following, immediately following the second coming, we live again. So if you died in Christ before the second coming, you're restored to life immediately following the second coming with your body being resurrected. You receive your perfect, incorruptible, glorified body. Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the dead, and those who die in Christ, we also are born again, at this point, not spiritually, but physically. We are specifically restored to life again using Christianese. You could think of that as the resurrection. It is the resurrection. But again, what are we talking about specifically? We're talking about your self-same body, the unification of your body, spirit, and soul. There's continuity of life for all human beings. So when a person dies, we have our same soul, mind, will, and emotions. We have our same spirit. But if we die before the second coming, we experience disembodiment. It says that in the Bible. In verse 13, we see, death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrender the dead in them. If you die in Christ, you are disembodied in heaven. So you have a form, but not your physical form yet. So not the form that allows you to be on the earth and have your perfect DNA. God's will is for you to have perfect DNA, for you to live for the eternities of eternities. He has a plan. He is going to bring that to pass. You get to decide if you want to cooperate with that plan. You get to decide, am I going to be restored to life again at the time of the second coming, in which case you live on earth for the 1,000 years that follows the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are 1,000 years that will occur before the earth is resurrected. There will be a new earth. When I say resurrected, the earth will be perfected. It will be made new. We're going to learn about that when we discuss the new earth statement of prophecy, which follows this dead judged prophecy. However, if you say, Jesus, I don't want to be restored to life again at the time of the second coming. I wish to follow a different plan. And there are only two plans, friend. You can be restored to life again at the time of the second coming, in which case you get a perfect, incorruptible body. You will live on earth for the eternities of eternities. You'll live on the earth as it continues after the Battle of Armageddon into the 1,000-year millennial reign, and you will continue to live on earth when earth is regenerated, when the curse is totally lifted from the earth, when God himself physically relocates his abode to the new earth, and he brings heaven to earth. It is actually superimposed, merged with the new earth. So that's going to be an amazing thing. It is true. It's not a fantasy. It's not a wish. It's not a good idea. It is a statement of prophecy. All the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation are genuine and true. We are advised that every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is genuine and true, and they are sure to come to pass. So let's talk about those who are restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment. So it says in verse 12 of chapter 20, I also saw the dead, great and small, they stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. Let us talk about the fact that there are books and there's a book of life. I want to get into talking about the book of life. So what is the book of life, and is this something that is discussed elsewhere in the Bible? Let's look at scriptures in the book of life that will allow us to understand the value and importance of this book. So I'm going to read some scriptures to us from the book of Psalms, Philippians, as well as the book of Revelation. The book of life appears 4 times in the book of Revelation, in chapters 3, 13, 17, and 21. Of course, we already heard where it appears in chapter 21 in the dead judge statement of prophecy, but where else does it appear and what do we learn? In Psalms 69, 28, it says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and the book of life and not be enrolled among the uncompromisingly righteous, those upright and in right standing with God. So we learn that those who are in the book of life are quote-unquote enrolled. What does enrolled mean? You are on track, you are registered for, you are scheduled, you are booked. What are you booked for? You're taking a flight that will lead you to everlasting life on the new earth. It is a guaranteed flight for those who are in Christ. You get to decide, do I want to take that flight that's going to lead me to be restored to life again at the time of the second coming, or am I taking the flight scheduled to be restored to life again after the 1,000 years millennial reign? And, of course, that is taking you to a known appointment, and that appointment is for the Great White Throne Judgment. If you are taking the flight that leads you to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years during the millennial reign, live on the new earth for the eternities of the eternities, you will not be judged at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment. You will receive your rewards at the time of the second coming. Are there rewards beyond that point? I don't know. I can imagine that there are. But the judgment for those who die in Christ, that judgment is an evaluation of your work and to what extent work merits rewards. Your judgment, if you took the flight that led you to be restored to life again after the 1,000 years, your reward is an evaluation, which is called the Great White Throne Judgment. We're going to get to that evaluation shortly. Let's continue with understanding what is the Book of Life. So we learn in Psalms, again, let them be blotted out of the Book of Life. Excuse me. Let them be blotted out of the Book of the Living and the Book of Life and not be enrolled among the uncompromisingly righteous, those upright and in right standing with God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are baptized in the name of Jesus, your sin debts are paid, and because your past, present, and future sins are blotted out, that makes you in right standing with God. You can't work your way into right standing of God. There are not enough good works that can pay for our sins. The only thing, the only acceptable payment for any sin, and we've all sinned, we're in the world that's fallen, we've all sinned, I've sinned, you've sinned, that's part of this age, the age where we are under the dominion of Satan. We're in a world that is fallen. There's evil, all manner of evil. And so the only way to get in right standing with God is payment for our sins. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, after repenting of our sins and we get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then we are in right standing with God. Where else do we learn about the Book of Life. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I exhort you to, my genuine yoke fellow, help these two women to keep on cooperating, for they have toiled along with me in the spreading of the good news, the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the Book of Life. So, even 2,000 years ago, they were thinking about the Book of Life. The Book of Life records the names of all who are victorious. What does it mean to be victorious? That means an individual dies in Christ or is in Christ at the time of the second coming. That means that an individual has gone from being a son of Adam to a son or daughter of God. So we're sons and daughters of Adam, and that's why we can get cancer, why we can get gray hair, why our bodies are corruptible because of sin. But that's not God's perfect will for us. God's perfect will is for us to be in his image. And when we are in his image, we have perfect DNA, a perfect body. Okay? And when we are perfected through Christ, our names appear in the book of life. Okay, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Thus shall he who conquers is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out of his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels." So Jesus Christ is talking specifically about the book of life. This is in one of the foundational elements of the book of Revelation. These are the transcribed words of Jesus Christ to the angel, written by John for the seven churches that existed at that time of the writing of the book of Revelation. There were seven churches in Asia, and Jesus Christ had words for them, specific things that he communicated. And one of the things he said was, "Thus shall he who conquers is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out of his name from the book of life." So that book of life was important then. It's important now. It's going to be important in our future. Whatever you do, make sure your name is in the book of life. If your name is in the book of life, that means that you are booked and confirmed for the flight that is taking you to being restored to life again at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is confirming that you will receive a perfect, incorruptible body. That is confirming that you will live for the eternities of eternities, including the thousand-year millennial reign that follows the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as the restoration, the resurrection of the earth, the creation of the new earth, which is simply the new earth perfected. In the same way that your body will be perfected, if you are in Christ, you will receive a perfect, glorified, incorruptible body. The earth will be restored after the dead are judged. We are getting a new earth. You want your name in that book of life. What else does it say in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8? "And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world." Let me read this again. So chapter 13, that is the statement of prophecy that communicates dragon power. So that's all about Satan and his dominion on the earth, specifically what his plans are and what his actions are during the Great Tribulation. That's in the Dragon Power Statement of Prophecy. And so let's look at that again. "And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb." This is very important. So those who are not in Christ, in other words, those whose names are not in the book of life of the Lamb, who are those individuals? Those are individuals who take the mark of the beast during the 3.5 year period, the 1,260 days of the Great Tribulation. Also, individuals who experienced the first death but did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those individuals also don't have their names recorded in the book of life of the Lamb. So this scripture is very important because not only does it tell us that there is a book of life, it says it's the book of life of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus Christ. Let's look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw once was, but now is no more. And he is going to come up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and proceed to go to perdition. And the inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been recorded in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they look at the beast, because he once was, but now is no more, and he is yet to come. So there's a lot in that scripture. Let's begin with talking about the book of life. It says, and the inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been recorded in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they look at the beast, because he once was, but now is no more. So for those of us who die in Christ, we are restored to life again. We already have our glorified body, our incorruptible body, our immortal physical body. So it's our self-same body, but now our DNA is perfected. So you will look like you, but a better version of you, a version you will be free of wrinkles. If you have a lazy eye, you won't have that anymore. If you had a missing finger or a missing limb, you won't have that anymore. If you suffered from bouts of depression or perhaps obsessive compulsive disorder, or maybe you had diabetes or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis, you won't have any of that. Those are results that emerge because of sin. Those are genetic flaws that exist because of what you have inherited biologically, resulting from the curse of the earth as well as the sins of the Father. The Bible tells us that the sins of the Father are visited upon the sons and daughters up to the third and fourth generation. There are also wrong decisions that we sometimes make. There are wrong decisions that others have made, chemicals and pesticides. Chemicals in foods, those are wrong decisions. They are impacting our physical bodies. We are suffering because of wrong decisions that we've made, our foremothers and forefathers have made, and wrong decisions that others on the earth have made. However, there's coming a time when those wrong decisions will be in the past. We will be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is going to rule and reign forever. And you are going to rule and reign with him in your glorified body if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Give me one moment, friends. I'll be back in just a second. One moment. Okay, I am perfectly situated again. And so we know that this book of life is extremely important. It is referred to numerous times in the Holy Bible. In Revelation 21, verse 27, we begin with talking about the book of life there. Let's revisit that scripture. But nothing that defiles I'm actually in another scripture, verse 27. Let's look at that scripture. But nothing that defiles or profanes or is unwashed shall ever enter it, nor anyone who commits abominations, unclean, detestable, morally repugnant things, or practices falsehood, but only those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, what do we learn from this new scripture? In the Book of Life, recorded are singularly, only, exclusively, individuals who have not committed abominations, individuals who are not committing abominations, individuals who are not unclean, individuals who are not detestable, individuals who do not practice falsehood. Nothing that defiles or profanes or is unwashed shall ever enter. But they're talking about the New Jerusalem in this scripture. So you might say, well, Dr. Nicole, I have sinned. I am defiled. You know, I live on the earth. I'm not perfect. Yes, friend, I'm not perfect either. I've certainly sinned. I don't want to sin, but I have. I'm sure that I won't be perfect. I'm doing my best. But we're not going to achieve perfection at this time. God is perfecting us, but we will never be perfect during this stage of life under the dominion of Satan. Satan is the king of this world in this stage, but there's coming a new king. Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom. He is the King of Kings. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for the eternities of eternities. He will establish his kingdom at the time of his second coming. Now, we are not perfect, but we are being perfected. However, all of our sins are paid for. And so at the time of the second coming, you're able to receive a perfect body because of the payment of your sin debt. So at that point, you will be perfected with a perfect body after the 1,000-year millennial reign. Verse 27 of chapter 21 is talking about what happens after we have the new earth. And so at that point, the dead who have been judged won't be here anymore. Let's continue in the statement of prophecy that we are in right now, the dead judge statement of prophecy. We have confirmed that the book of life is important. The book of life is extremely important. In the book of life are recorded all the names of those who are in Christ, the name of those who will get a glorified, incorruptible body at the time of the second coming. Let us see what else is important in this statement of prophecy, the dead judged. It says, I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Okay, so I want to talk to you about what it means to be dead. So everyone will die. And I began by saying that those who have died before us have perfect continuity of existence. And you might say, you know, Dr. Nicole, I want that to be true, but I'm just not persuaded. Can you show me in Bible scripture where that is? Let's get into that. I want to share with you what it means to be asleep, what it means to be dead, and what specifically is death. Let's begin with talking about the word asleep. We see in Matthew 27 in verse 52, it says, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. In the Bible, the word asleep is used as a metaphor for death, but also to communicate the reality that there is perfect continuity of life. Now, how can there be perfect continuity of life if people are disembodied? There's perfect continuity of life because every human being will be restored to life. So either you're in group one, you're restored to life at the time of the second coming, restored to life because you experienced the first death, you're disembodied in heaven, and now you're restored to a perfect, incorruptible body on the earth. You come with Jesus after your body is resurrected to stand on the earth again. You're restored to life at that point, or you're restored to life again at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment happens after the 1,000-year millennial reign, after Satan is loosed for a short time and thrown into the lake of fire. So every human being that ever existed will be restored to life again. So if you are here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ and you are in Christ, you will be restored to life again. You will not fall asleep, but you will receive your perfect, incorruptible body. Peter says, I tell you a secret. Not all shall fall asleep, but all will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So what did he mean by that? If you are here at the second coming and you're in Christ, you'll never experience the first death. Okay, so what are we talking about? What does it mean to be asleep? It simply means that you are disembodied. So you still have your same soul and your same spirit, but we're three parts. We're body, spirit, and soul. So to be asleep means that you are not embodied. However, you will surely be raised to life. Let's look again. What else does the Bible tell us about being asleep? In Acts chapter 7, verse 60, it says, and falling on his knees, he cried out loudly, Lord, fix not this sin upon them. Lay it not to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep in death. So again, telling us that to be asleep means that a person experiences the first death. A person has had a corruptible body, which right now we all have a corruptible body. And so we are aging. We are subject to illness and sickness. We may experience the first death. We surely will unless we're here at the time of the second coming, but it is not something to fear because you will surely be restored to life again. You, friend, we both have to decide, when do we want to be restored to life again? Let's look further at some more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, but the fact is that Christ the Messiah has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. Let's hear that again. Verse 20 of chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians, but the fact is that Christ the Messiah has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. So many important things there. We learned that Jesus Christ was the first person who was raised from the dead. But is he the only person who will be raised from the dead? No. Every person who has ever lived and who lives right now and who will ever live again, who will ever live in the future, will be raised from the dead if that individual experiences the first death. Every person is going to be resurrected. However, a question is, are you resurrected into a perfect, glorified body? Are you resurrected to rule and reign with Christ? Do you receive your incorruptible body at the time of the second coming? Do you have the crown of life that permits you to live through the millennial reign on the current earth and then to continue to live once the earth is perfected and we get the new earth? We're getting a new earth. We're going to talk about that all in the month of June. Or are you restored to life again at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment? So you are going to be raised from the dead. If you die tomorrow, you're going to be raised from the dead. Now, people want to talk about, well, what happens when you die? That's important. But what's going to happen for you for eternity? If you are restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment, that means you missed your flight. You missed the flight to get your incorruptible body. You missed the flight that would allow you to live for the 1,000 years following the Battle of Armageddon, the millennial reign. You missed the flight that would allow you to be present and to live on the earth for the eternities of eternities. Now you say, what are you talking about? How can I miss that flight if I'm going to be restored to life again? Because in verse 15, it says, verse 15 of chapter 20, the last line in the dead judge statement of prophecy says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. And earlier in verse 14, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So what does that mean? When a person experiences the first death, if the person has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in other words, if the person has said, you know what, I'm gonna wait for that great white throne judgment, and then I'll just see what God says. I'll see, you know, my case will come before God. The book is going to be opened, and, you know, based on my aims and motives, God's going to try me. Listen, you have surely sinned. I have surely sinned. If we're going to pay our own sin debts, and the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us that. Now, if you die in Christ and you get your incorruptible body, you avoid the second death. In verse 14 of chapter 20, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. Now, when does this happen? Going back one verse in verse 13, and the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. So the dead who are going to be judged are those individuals who missed the first flight, those individuals who refused to accept the free payment for their sin debts. And they said, you know what? Let me just pay for my own sin debts. Thanks, but no thanks, Jesus. I know that you paid for my sin debts, but I am rejecting your payment. I'll pay for them myself. If you're going to pay for your own sin debts, that means that you're restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment, which is at the end of the millennial reign. When your case is tried, the wages of sin is death. So even if you only committed one sin, that means you have to die. So what is death? We learn in verse 14 of chapter 20, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So there will be perfect continuity for those who experience the great white throne judgment, the dead who are judged at the great white throne judgment. That perfect continuity will be being restored to life again, having an individual case heard. The case will be determined by what the individual has done according to his or her motives, aims, and works. Of course, sin will be found, and we are specifically told, this is the outcome of your case. Don't be deceived, friend. The outcome of your case is that you will experience the second death. You will be thrown into the lake of fire. You will have continuity, but your continuity will not involve being on the new earth. Your continuity looks like is a second death, that death occurs when you continue in the lake of fire. And so you're restored to life again, but your body doesn't, you don't continue on the new earth. Whatever you do, friend, make sure your name is recorded in the book of life. It's the top of the hour. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a call, go ahead. If you'd like to call, raise your hand if you have a question. Go ahead and raise your hand if you have a question. You can also text in your question if you have one. I see a number of callers today. Thank you so much for being with us. I never take your time for granted. I appreciate that you are here with us. I don't see any hands raised. That tells me that you're listening. Thank you for listening. So you say, how do I know, Dr. Nicole, if my name is recorded in the book of life? If you have repented of your sins, and if you've never repented of your sins, just say these words. I am a sinner. I have sinned, and Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to, and I purpose in my heart and with my mind, will, and emotions, I purpose to turn away from those sins, to turn my back on that way of being. I want to engage in right behaviors. So I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. And Jesus, I believe, say this with me, friend. I repent of my sins. And say this, Jesus, I believe that you committed no sins. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. Say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that you should do as we're commanded in the Bible. Go to a Bible-based church, and get baptized in the name of Jesus. Get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you're baptized, you're putting the name of Jesus metaphorically in a spiritual sense. You're putting that name on you. And so if you do that, and if you have already done that, then your name is recorded in the book of life. Your flight is confirmed. You will be restored to life again at the time of the second coming. You can be confident that the curse, though it impacts you today, and should Jesus tarry, it will impact you tomorrow. But there is coming a time when you will be free of the curse, when you will have your incorruptible body, your glorified body. You're going to run like the wind if you want to. You're going to be able to eat whatever you want to eat. You will have a body that never reaches its peak. You don't need a bucket list. The world tells us, oh, you need a bucket list because you only live once. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You live forever. You live forever. You are going to be disembodied if you experience the first death, but you're going to be restored to life again. And so I'm so excited about your future. I'm excited to know that you are going to receive your perfect, incorruptible body. I will look forward to continued discussion about these issues. Now, this month, for the month of June, at each presentation of Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation, I will be talking about the Dead Judge Statement of Prophecy, sharing new insights from Scripture, sharing new revelation. These are the questions that I am focusing on, that we are focusing on, as we learn from the Statement of Prophecy, the Dead Judge in the Book of Revelation this month. These are the 12 questions that are being answered. Number one, what does God say about being immortal? Number two, what is the book of life? Number three, is it possible to avoid death? Number four, what is judgment day? Number five, will every person who ever lived be restored to life and live again? Number six, what is the second death? Number seven, what is the secret and true meaning of the words asleep, death, and the dead? Number eight, who will be judged at the great white throne judgment? Number nine, what is the great white throne judgment? 10, where will the great white throne judgment be conducted? 11, when is the great white throne judgment? And 12, why is there a great white throne judgment? I have answered some of those questions today, but more is to come. Make sure that you're with me and that you're with us next week at the same time. I'll also be on again Tuesday at 4 p.m. Texas time. That's 4 p.m. Central time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. If you want to hear this talk again, I will be sharing it on Tuesday. I'll have a brand new discussion and presentation for us next Sunday. Please join us again. This month, we have live presentations with answers to the 12 questions that I shared from me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. You can listen, text, or call during the live presentation and discussion. Please text in your question for the Book of Revelation research scientist 24/7. Our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. I pray that you have been blessed by our discussion today. Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. I declare and decree that you are blessed. Until next time, friend, thank you for listening.